Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Faisal, we were talking with Andrew before, or the last segment, a little bit about 2022. There was a whole bunch of surprises, right? So it's interesting always to look back in time. And 2020's hindsight is clear, right? But when you break it down, there's a lot that changed. Now, here we are at 2023, and there's some risks, but there's also some opportunities. And Andrew had started to outline what, you know, some of that positioning is looking like. I think we should go back to that and dig in on where some of the opportunities may lay, given some of the damage that was done because of the surprises last year. So we've been joined, or we are joined by Andrew McCreasy, the CEO and the CIO of Forge First Asset Management. Andrew, thanks for sticking around. You did a good job in the last segment of giving us some ideas of where we're coming into 2023. Maybe start there and give us a sense of where you see the positioning. Likely the year is choppy, as you said. Where are the opportunities and where are the risks? Where do people need to protect?
Well, thanks, gentlemen. First and foremost, I do believe it's going to continue to be choppy. You know, investors, I said it in our last segment how my third surprise for 2022 was how investors have yet to admit that we have actually undergone a macro regime change. You know, after 14 years of printing money, now we're no longer going to be printing money. We're actually going to see liquidity shrink. Based on the guidance of the Central Bank of the United States, they expect to take out $1.2 trillion U.S. dollars out of the system during 23 and another $1.2 trillion U.S. dollars out of the system in 24 because they have stated they want to shrink their balance sheet by $3 trillion between 22 and 24, and they only shrank it by $400 billion last year. So you take liquidity out of the system, we both know that that tends to make it a little more challenging for asset prices to go higher. And then you got to look at the economy. And there's little question that, you know, Europe has got a lot of problems. China is not going to be the engine that it used to be for the global economy. And the savings rate in the United States is 2.4%. The lowest since 2005. So economic growth is going to be kind of sloppy. Okay, that's fine. What about inflation? Well, you know, I think inflation is going to be stickier for longer. You're going to see the price of goods drop a lot because of the changes in the supply and demand that have occurred over the last 6 to 12 months, be it supply chain, be it consumers having less money to spend. I mean, look at the news late last week that, you know, Tesla was cutting the price of its cars by 20%. They're trying to sell product. So prices of goods are coming down a lot. I think service pricing is going to be more sticky. And so the big variable that's going to drive the tape in 23 is whether or not the market is right that the Fed's going to cut interest rates in the back half of this year, or like I'm thinking, they're not going to. And if the Fed doesn't cut interest rates in the back half of the year, that's going to make it particularly challenging for stocks and bonds at points in time during this year, likely around the middle of this year. But of course, if you're properly positioned, you know, with, you know, the sage advice of, you know, guys like you, and I can say that because I've had the good fortune of working with you for several years, and I'm well aware that you don't look at your client base as all being the same. You know, Fred's different from Mary versus different from John versus from Allison. And, you know, I know from, you know, having beers with you guys that you think of every client's needs and desires and goals as different, and you construct the portfolios appropriately. So risk and challenges creates opportunities because you're typically positioned appropriately ahead of those challenges, because the best way to make money is not to lose money. But then as we see lower earnings get priced into the marketplace and stocks move a little lower, we see opportunities in what you call GARP stocks, growth at reasonable price. In other words, companies that offer, call it low double-digit growth rates in earnings and cash flow, regardless of the economic cycle, and that trade at appropriately multiples, valuations. We like the rails a lot. We like CP and CN Rail. We own both companies because we believe both companies can continue to compound earnings and cash flow in the low to mid double digits. We also like what's called credit spreads. Once we see a peak in central banks hiking interest rates, probably this springtime, we believe that buying investment grade bonds will be a very attractive opportunity. Now, our conservative alternative fund at Forge First, which made 2% last year and has a compound three-year return of 9.4% net of all fees, has been increasing its allocation to credit spreads. And we believe that that fund, which is currently about 12% net long common equities, after being as much as 20% net short common equities last year, and is currently long about, call it 11, 12% to credit, is likely to double each of those numbers prudently as we work through the choppiness of 23. And so we see an opportunity for the conservative alternative fund to shift from defense to offense as this year evolves. But we're not going to do it all at once, because we do believe that there's some choppiness over the next little while, gentlemen.
And I think that's going to be the opportunity there. When you talk about growth at a reasonable price, Andrew, and you mention a few names, what I keep on reading about is that we're now shifting away from the old regime of let's go into tech and high growth, and the reasonable priced growth companies are what we would call the consistent economy stocks. You mentioned railways. Are there other sectors that you see as opportunities going into it? You've talked about bonds, of course, and credit quality of that. That's definitely going to be an opportunity. But what about in the sectors? What sectors are you seeing as opportunities for 2023?
Well, I just want to, the setup ahead of answering your question, Faisal, has to do with the valuation of the market. I mentioned earlier during our conversation that the S&P 500 is trading at around 17.4 times forward 12-month earnings estimates. That's not cheap. And once we start to see, say, another 5% haircut to earnings estimates for 2023, that's probably 18 times earnings. So I do understand how whenever markets do bottom around a recession, which clearly is coming, the question whether it's soft versus hard, that there may be multiple expansion opportunities ahead of earnings being revised higher when we're coming out the other side of that recession. But when you're starting at 18 times, there's not a lot of upside, especially if interest rates are going to be, structurally higher over the medium term, because there's this change in the supply and demand of bonds, which I certainly believe there is ever since the fall of 21. And we saw that macro regime change. So that's a long-winded way of saying, I don't believe that the return potential for financial assets is particularly strong over the next couple of years, because growth is going to be low, earnings estimates are going to be challenging, and the valuation of financial assets is already pretty high. And oh, by the way, real estate pricing, with the exception of Alberta, because of what's going on in the energy patch, is going to continue to be challenging during 23. As you know, gentlemen, after spending my life in Toronto, I moved to Calgary 9 months ago, and I'm a very happy Calgarian, and I own a Flames jersey, I might add. And so it's going to be a little different up here, but I know in Toronto, real estate prices are down 25%, and they're going to go down more during 23. So let's get to your question. We believe that there's opportunities in energy transition stocks in the United States. We like Carrier Global, CARR. That's a company we like a lot. We sold Quanta Services, ticker PWR, in December of last year, because the stock reached a new all-time high after a good run. We would like to buy that stock at a point in time. And so we like industrial stocks that represent plays on energy transition that play into the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, which of course was fiscal policy that President Biden put in place last year. Three, yes, we do like oil stocks. We like high quality liquid companies like Canadian Natural Resources. We continue to like Tourmaline. It's not as cheap as it used to be, but it's a best of class company with arguably amongst the best chief executives in the Canadian marketplace. And that's of course, Mike Rose. So Cyclical industrials in the energy transition space, selected large cap, high quality, clean balance sheet energy companies would be a couple of other areas we like, Faisal.
Andrew, thank you very much. We've run out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up on that. Always a pleasure. Great economic insights, some good names there. We appreciate it as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Happy New Year and have a great one.
Thanks, buddy. We've been joined by Andrew McCreet, CEO, CIO of Forge First Asset Management. Okay, we've got to make sense of all that and put it into a plan that the average person can use to support that lifestyle that they want, they envision in retirement.
On Tuesday, February 21st, 7 p.m., at the Carriage House Inn, you do need to reserve your seats. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
After the break, we're going to talk about why using an advisor may not be right for your retirement. Stick around for that. You're listening to More Than Money on QR Calgary.